हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 6, Description of Krishna's Sarup Shakti. There's two things. Adhikarana. There's no Adhikarana. Because it has so many. This one just is. There's no Adhikarana. It's just the one. Okay.
It's a small one. A separate section, so I just put it as Adhyayana.
Okay. Thus it is shown that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He manifests most excellently in Gokula. He shows great powers there. He showed himself as the Lord of millions of universes, the single form of rasa composed of existence, knowledge and unlimited bliss. He is full of compassion, giving the position of a mother to Putana, and he is full of sweetness, the queens of Dwarka pray. We desire the same contact with the Supreme Lord's feet that the young women of Braja, the cowherd boys, and even the Aborigine Pulinda women desire. The touch of the dust he leaves on the plants and grass as he tends his cow. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:83-43. So you see that the aspect of that surrender to Krishna, that mood that they had, that they the interactive, the wonderfulness of the interactions and all that. So these are, you see, everybody's appreciating that. The queens of Dwarka are appreciating it. Then the ladies in Mathura are appreciating that. You know, so there's always that aspect that these other realms around Goloka, they all appreciate the Braja. And especially we see the gopis. But in general, they all appreciate that the Brajvasis have that greatest aspect of surrender. Now here's another point of from yesterday's, you know, how you say, upgrading one's sarup. Here's all these other personalities in their situations around Swetadweep. And they're appreciating what the Brajvasis do, or the gopis, their love and surrender. But they don't desire to attain that position. They attain to have that kind of devotion and surrender. But they're satisfied in their own position. Right? Because otherwise it was just a matter of, oh, that's better than immediately go. But then that also then shows how much is one satisfied. If somebody immediately, as soon as there's something, they flip to the next, then there's a shallowness there. It doesn't have any depth. Because the point is you have a relationship with the Lord, you're satisfied in that. And you can appreciate that other Vaishnavas may have an even more intimate. Because otherwise, then why isn't everybody Lakshmi in Vaikuntha? You know, it's a matter of upgrading. Then to be Krishna with, you know, Narayan with all the Lakshmis, and there's nobody else. You know, because Vishrakshena and everybody else, they've all become Lakshmi because that's the best. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's personal. You are who you are. You know? And so then you appreciate. Like, you know. So because otherwise, if that's the thing, then how is there going to be any cooperation? We're always servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So this idea of these upgrading, this is just self-centered. It has nothing to do with pleasing Krishna. I mean, literally. It's not about pleasing Krishna, it's about I want a better position. And for what? What are you going to get from it? You know, it's just the social prestige and all that, then that's what this place is for. You're into social prestige, that's what the material world's for. Dhanam Janam Sundarim, this is the place. You want Krishna's pleasure, his happiness, by the display of your pure devotion, that's the spiritual world. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, what does this mean, upgrade? And then everybody, why isn't Bhishma Dev lying on a bed of arrows? Why hasn't he gone and become a gopi? You know? You know, so like that. This statement is suitable because it indicates the special nature of the sweetness revealed in the gopis, endowed with the highest prema, endowed with the good fortune to touch his feet. Thus it is also said, "Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptom of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-40. Right, so the gopis are pointing out that everybody's ecstatic by seeing you. Even the birds, the trees, the everybody. Like this. And the queens in Dwarka, then they're saying the same point. It's just that attractiveness to Krishna, how wonderful it is that those persons were attracted. "He performs intimate pastimes." This is praised. "Great devotees sing of the activities of Krishna in his childhood, which Vasudev and Devaki could not experience, and which even today destroy the sins of all people." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:8-47. Why aren't they upgrading, right? They didn't get to see the childhood pastimes. Why haven't they upgraded? I mean, Rohini seems to have, you know.
I think that the main difficulty is that although we talk a lot about different subjects, still we remain in the consciousness that I'm the subject and everything else is an object.
Yeah, for me. Yes.
For me. So then if I see everything in connection to me as object and subject, me being the subject, mm-hmm. means it's exploitative mentality.
Yes.
I can exploit it.
Yes.
But then if we put Krishna in
the center.
Yeah, in the center as a subject, and we become the object of his compassion, of his kindness, of his then we actually situated in the right position.
Yes.
But then it happens when we are focused on that. But then as soon as we how you say, lose our focus, we subconsciously go back into a,
yes.
a center of self-centered. That's
self-centered.
That's what it's
yes.
called.
Yeah.
So this is, I guess, is the root of all those kind of questions, because Brihad Bhagavatamrita is based on that everybody appreciates others without wanting to change their own position.
Yes.
They're completely happy and they can appreciate others.
Yes.
But for us, if we see others, then the envy is manifested in a subtle or gross form.
Yes.
And then we want that because of obvious reasons. Because I want to be that, because that apparently is a better center than I am right now.
Yeah, yeah. It means I'm still the center, but I shift the center because of it. So then, it means we see is that the example of the Mayavadis, they take the term "I am that" and try to become Krishna.
Yeah.
Right. That. So I am that. So I want to be. Because the point is we are who we are. So we're an energy of Krishna. So every energy is fully satisfied where they are. It's not like the hand wants to become the foot or become a nose or. You know, the hand is happy doing hand stuff. The foot does foot stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. We're part and parcel of Krishna. That means we have a nature. And so when we connect to Krishna, because now we're acting in our capacity, Krishna's happy, we're happy.
Yeah.
You know, the hand does what it's supposed to, then the hand is happy. It's not that the hand thinks, well, hey, you know, the mouth gets to chew all the stuff, you know, like that, but then that's the stomach gets it all that. Well, hey, what about, you know, it just keeps moving around. Because when if it's self-centered, since it's not the natural position, it's not the real self, that center will keep shifting.
Yeah.
You know, because we'll re-identify. We're doing something, or, you know, the skiing is the thing, and then we break our leg, and then we decide that, you know, riding motorcycles is the thing. Then we break the other leg, then we decide, okay, well, four wheels, now it's the car. Then that crashes. Then, you know, it's just, we just keep moving.
Yeah.
you know, body to body, you know, realm to realm, just, you know.
And even if we take the discussion of inherent and inherited,
mm-hmm.
it's still useless because it's not about Krishna. It's about my position.
Yeah.
And then I can go on and speculate,
yeah.
you know, like basically unlimited.
Yes.
For whether it's this and that. But you know, Krishna is who he is. That's...
Yes, Krishna is who he is. We are who we are. And the conditioned state then we see is that you mentioned there, we can go on speculating. That gives us that aspect of enjoying.
Yeah.
I'm the controller. And then, if I get this better position, I should enjoy better in another position. So, it's still the mundane consciousness of what brought us here. So, we can say, no, but I'm thinking about it in the spiritual context. But it's not actually spiritual. Spiritual means it's connected to Krishna. So, when you have Krishna's energy, but don't see it connected to Krishna, you're dealing with external energy. Just like Sita Devi. Rama is interacting with Sita, she's the internal potency. Ravana wants to interact with Sita, she's the external potency. You know? So that's the thing, it just switches. Because Yoga Maya is another office, is Mahamaya. So she's controlling all the energies. You deal with her not connected with Krishna, then she manifests as Mahamaya. Otherwise, how is it you have in the same house with the same ingredients the yogic Brahmins and the wives of the Brahmins? You know? The demon comes into Vrindavan. It's the spiritual world. The demon's standing right there. Right? It's not like he comes out and there's the border of Vrindavan and there's a gate there and Keshi's out there, hey, come on out, you're scared, you're a coward staying inside there, you know, you come out here to the material world, I'll show you who's boss. You know, is that what's happening? And then when Krishna comes out and he's in the material world, then they have the fight and this and that. And then. No, he walks right into the spiritual world. But the point is wherever Krishna steps, that's Nila. Wherever they step, that's material energy. So when he puts his foot there, he's standing on the material energy. Or at least on the covering, the prouda maya. So that's the thing, is that these energies switch. What we think, like you're saying, we're the center, they should do what we want. Oh, it's spiritual, but I'm thinking, no, it's not. You're thinking still. It's just an extended, it's what you did before to get yourself here. And so how is that going to get you back? Seeing the energy centered around you. It's Krishna's energy. You're seeing the Dham. You associate all centered around yourself. So then you appear here. And if you see everything centered around Krishna, even though you're here, you're there. That's why it says, someone who's surrendered to Krishna, they're liberated. They're not here. I think it was 68. There's a group of lecturers in L.A., I think in 68. And many times a lot of the questions that sounds like it's asked by some kid. Huh?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like this young boy is asking all these questions. So many questions. I mean, others are asking. But he asks all kinds, things like, I think one of the first ones he asked, so you're here in the material world, but you're actually not here. You're in the spiritual world. Probably just says yes. And then because it's a kid, so you say, yeah, he's cool. He says, no, but if you're here, and it's that, but then you had a heart attack. And so did you feel pain? Because you're transcendental. So he says, yes. And he's saying, how? Because you're spiritual. And then probably explains how you're working with the material energy, but at the same time as you're transcendental. You know? So like that is that that's the thing, is the chinta beta beta tattva. I don't think others get into it so much, the other sampradayas, into these levels. They don't need to. It's just you're here, get out of here, go back there. So it's about liberation. You know, though it's Vaishnava liberation. Become, get on the same planet, have the same form, being associate, have the same opulences. You know, because some of the same opulences will move with the Lord in a particular way than someone who's just has Swarup. You know, or someone who's on the same planet. You know, or there's someone who's an associate. So you may be an associate, but not necessarily have the same opulence. So we also have the opulence, so the opulence is the common. The other one is the association, or the surup is the common, or the place is the common. But in any case, you've gotten out of here and you're there. It's centered around the Lord, but it's still considering yourself. You know, just like the queens at Dorcas, 50-50. Krishna's pleasure, their pleasure. You know? And then Mathura, the Mahishi there, it's about their pleasure, but it's connected. It's Krishna's, the one is the object of that their pleasure. But it still has that. That's why the gopis is 100% Krishna. It's not about themselves. You know, so therefore they don't have to get into these fine points where it's 100% about Krishna, and then how everything that you're dealing and all that you're seeing in connection to Krishna, and then their non-difference of Krishna, and then the energies. You know, we attained Prabhupada's explaining about the qualities of the soul. They come at 78%. So he's explaining it's the power, because the power is the qualities. You have strength. Then you can get something done. You have determination. You get something. That's your power. How is it he gets so much? Because he's determined, or he's focused. He's steady. So you have 78% of the power, but ours is small, and his is unlimited. You know. So that 78%, that's where you interact. We're not maybe Brahma and Shiva interact with Krishna based, you know, they have the 78, but they also have the aspects of the next five, which I think, what's that, 78 goes to, what, 84 is the next?
Yes.
84. Then those extra four, that they're the controllers of the universe and, you know, creators, destroyers, all those.
Omniscient.
All those aspects. They'll have that kind of, and so that can be part of their relationship. But you see, it becomes more formal. And then there's the next five. Takes, I think, 92, right, with Narayan. You know, so then amongst the you know, the different incarnations of the Lords, you know, then they can interact on those things. But with Krishna, then that 78%, that's what's the main interaction. Then him, he has those special four qualities that makes them most attractive, and that's why Narayan, everybody's attracted to Krishna. So that's his uniqueness there, but the 78 is where the personal interaction is as an individual. You know? So you know, you don't require more, you don't need more, because that's what it's based on.
Also those extra four are the ones which make him like more humanly, so
yes.
For interaction, it makes him more intense rather than keep him
then more majesty.
More
far, okay, so this next five, well, those from 78 to 92, those are basically majesty.
Majesty, yeah.
And then there's last four, sweetness. So sweetness is the highest. That's interesting. That's the, yeah, because the majesty is based on those. So then there'll be that little overlap in Dwarka. You know, so if something you know, amazing happens, they drop back to dealing with the 90. I mean, well, anyway, they just drop out of that into that servant mode. You know, the sweetness disappears because they talk about it. You see, is that when they're talking about Dwarka, they mention about the sweetness of the Lord. So everybody in Vaikuntha, the sweetness is there. It's just the intensity of it. It's sweetness, it's majesty with sweetness. He's the greatest person, but he's so nice. You know, he's a powerful person, but he's a really nice guy. You know, very personal. So they appreciate that personalness. Well, some appear more of the majesty of it. So you see is that even with the range of Vaikuntha, some will talk more about the sweetness, some will talk more about the majesty. So like even with the Alwars, three talk about the sweetness, one specifically. The other ones will talk, you know, the variety. Sweetness will be there, but they'll also bring out other aspects. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the depth of sweetness is more.
Yeah, it's like smoothie and rasgur.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Both are sweet.
Both are sweet, yeah. There's all so much sweetness that can come from dates and raisins and like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yes, so then these the pastimes, the intimate pastimes and all that are so special in childhood that even Vasudeva and Devaki don't have those. So we see those are only in Braja. Because you also have, when you say childhood, you do have childhood meaning there's the special ones up to in the Kumara aspect, you know, when we're taking Kumara, Pavganda, Kaishor, Yovana, we're taking meeting that. So then the Kumara of that is specifically when he's with the parents. You know, and just starting to go out with the calves, but it's centered around the parents. Then you see Pauganda, that'll be centered around the covered boys, and it says them. You like that. Then the Kaishora, that'll be centered around the gopis. But you also have the aspect where childhood, or Kumara, if you like in Gita, Komaram Yovanam Jara, it only gives three classifications for the whole life. So that means Kumara means up to 16. Then 16 to, you know, 40, like this, you know, you can stretch it a little bit, basically that's Yovana. You know, you're young. You know? And then, you know, after that, that's old. Just a matter of where you want to, you know, is 40 old or is, okay, 50s old. You know, so 60s old. You know, and then when you get to there, then I'm 60 years young. You know, you start doing that stuff. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it was interesting. I was talking with some devotees. I don't know how it came up, but I was mentioning that in the, you know, where the sphere that I moved, then the ladies don't get older than 29. You know, in other words, 30, you know, you're over the hill. That's in America, it's considered you're over the hill at 30. You know, which matches with the Vedic, because Yovana actually goes up to 29, 30, then you go into middle age. You know, if you're using the finer breakdown. And but I was discussing this in Europe. I think it may have been in Germany or something, they say, or like that. And they were saying, well, in Europe, we say 39. Women never gets older than 39. So then that would be, if you're using the bigger context of Yovana, they go up to there. So it was interesting, because they consider that still respectable.
Also more kind of traditional ones, then maturity also matters, then 30s is considered you're mature.
Yeah, you're mature, because otherwise before that you're a kid. Like that. You know, in India it's always, the guy's a kid. Remember there was something happened, they said, yeah, some kids got into trouble. And so the Westerners are thinking of young boys. And then when they got into it, then they found out these guys were like late 20s. They're saying, why do you say they're kids? Because they're not married yet, they're kids. You know? Like that, so they're kids. So it's just, you know. Yeah. So, at any point, the childhood can mean, you can mean specifically that they didn't see, but they didn't see any of them up to that age. All the Brajpasa, they didn't see. So technically you could say that's all childhood. You know, because like we said, until you're married, you're a kid. So when he goes to Dwarka and he gets married, then you can say, okay, now he's, you know, big. And so those pastimes. So they got kind of the tail end, but they didn't see before that. They came, he got Upanayana and went to the Gurukul, you know, for some time, then he comes back and then...
So he didn't go to school, so he's really a child.
Yeah, that's another aspect. Yeah, didn't go to school, you know, like that. He just ran around barefoot, you know. They say Vrindavan, he doesn't wear shoes, like that. His paraphernalia is the greatest. O King Parikit, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. Right, the paraphernalia is the greatest, meaning Vrindavan, Govardhan, the banks of the Jamuna, there's no greater paraphernalia than that. You know, you're not going to have, Dwarka has the ocean, you know, like that. Mathura is also on the Jamuna, but it still doesn't have the same. So Mathura is glorified because it's connected to Vrindavan, you know, like that. And Vrindavan, it can also be called Mathura because it's actually what makes Mathura special. Does that make sense? His associates are the greatest. How greatly fortunate are Nandamaras, the cowherd men, and all other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because Krishna gave them prema, which is the highest bliss, eternal and complete. Interesting. Complete, another word for the chit. Because the knowledge being applied with the proper attitude and relationship, then it's complete. Interesting. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.32. In this way, an abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, they played with him, who is pure consciousness known as Brahman for the jnanis, who is the supreme lord for the devotees with Dasyabha, and who was an ordinary human child for those covered by material illusion. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11. Right. What pious acts. So if someone can't see or appreciate, then it's not necessarily it's because, you know, that's what's taken. I can't understand this. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. But we'll think, no, my intelligence is so vast and great, you know, I can understand anything, you know. Some extent, you know, hence the, the forum for discussion is called vast. Because, no. You know, so that they are thinking, yes, so much brain. But here it's making, if you, it doesn't understand, doesn't make sense, you say it's not logical, that's because it's covered by material illusion. Even though you have so much brain, it doesn't mean the brain can't be covered. Is there a rule that, you know, in IQ, that up to a certain point you can be covered by material illusion, and beyond that you're not covered? You know, if that's the case, I think it's it was some Russian dude, I think, was 200 IQ, something like that. That's like even more than all the other big guys, even more than Sheldon, amazingly. But whatever, you know, it's just so much IQ. But if you see a picture of him, he just looks like one of the guys out in the forest, like another member of the No Banana family. You know. So it's, you know, is there a rule for that? So that's the whole thing, is these material things, they're not the tools. Engaged in the Lord's service, they become useful. So elements of karma and jnana and yoga that are connected with bhakti, they become useful. And as they're useful, they're used. When they're not useful, they're not used. But it's not because it can be used in Krishna's service, therefore it's valuable. No, it's when it is used in Krishna's service, it's valuable. So it doesn't have a value on its own. No?
Yeah. I mean, that mechanism, it's very technical, but it is explained in this third canto how that citta, manas, buddhi, and ahankara, how they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, in order to experience some object, actually, to see some object, the citta has to take the form of that object.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But we see, although citta is conglomerate of the whole
yes.
things,
mm-hmm.
we see it with the mind,
mm-hmm.
and we discriminate with the intelligence.
Right.
But it's all based on the ego,
yes.
which gives us an identity.
Yes, yes.
So the simple example is given is like, the, you know, the couple walks around the shopping mall,
mm-hmm.
and what lady sees in the lady's shop, mm-hmm. the guy doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Like if she asks him then later, did you see that or this? He says no. And she's like, you know, she's angry with the guy because how couldn't you see
it? It's so obvious. Yeah.
because the citta immediately projected on that, and that becomes, but like you mentioned, if we don't have the spiritual samskaras, we just can't see that.
Yes.
It isn't there.
It isn't there, yeah. So that's why it's very nice. I was just, you know, appreciating the other day that Jiva Goswami, how he puts it together, it's not that he just gets together all these technical points and then just kind of puts them together. It's not like Nostradamus who takes all these things and throws it up in the air and how it comes together, then that's how it's presented. We're saying he does it so that it you know, works by the what are they called? It's the Vastavikritis. It's the ways of chanting. So that you learn. It means the I think the Samhita Pat is the one that we hear. You know? Like that. You know, when you hear a shlok chanted, that's Samhita Pat. But there's seven others that basically you learn the verse frontwards and backwards, literally. Like, have you ever heard the boys I don't know the boys one. You know the gamak, that one said. They do the pahi.
Jatapata?
Huh? No. It's called gam. What's it called? What is it called? Okay, I don't even remember. It's been a while. So it's where you say the thing frontwards and backwards, like you're saying the syllables, 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2. Then 2 becomes the next one. Then that goes 1 again. It moves. Mm. So you're learning it frontwards, backwards, and when you've done the thing, then you move up to the next one. Then the next word. Then you do that. Then you move to the next one. And when you hear it, it sounds really nice. They do it. They do it sometimes at Ashirvadams. Done. It's done on mantras to bring out. It's just like a short mantra. Like 5 words, but it takes, you know, a minute to say, you know. Mm-hmm. So it sounds really nice. And that. So if you've ever seen the Mahayagyas, the boys use it at the end. Like that. And so then, there's one called, I think, Padapada, step by step. Well, no, they said Padapada? No, it's something other than Padapada. Padapada means you just say one, then you say the next, even. Like when we use like someone you say, then they say, then you say, that's that. So another one is goes A, B, B, C, C, D, D, E, like that. Mm-hmm. So basically what Ben is using here is you have no, like you said, no impression, no samskar. So from what samskar you have, he explains it and makes it so you can see it. Now you move to the next one. Then using that new samskar, then he'll explain the next one. Then you move to the next one. And that way you just see step by step, you just go up through the whole sandharma till you've done all the points of philosophy. Because otherwise, that's the whole point of preaching, is to catch the person at their level of samskar, at their level of impression, and bring them forward step by step that they can start to come close to spiritual samskar. So, because that's what the preaching is. So, you know, these other things that, no, it's just using this or not saying anything about Krishna, that has nothing to do with preaching. The effectiveness is you've said something about Krishna that they can relate to in their context. So, like you see, is, you know, everyone's seeing everything in connection with the Supreme. When forever giving a general lecture, you Supreme, you won't say Krishna. To say Supreme, because then they can catch, yes, there's a Supreme, everything does come from the Supreme. You say Krishna, who's Krishna? What has it got to do with Krishna? Supreme, then they talk like this. Now this is God consciousness. Now Supreme has become God. Then you can talk about God, how he is everything like that. Then you can bring, you know, then he's the Lord, you know, how he controls everything like that. Then you can bring it to that Lord is Krishna. And so you see is that the Acharyas will use that method. You going up from one to the next. So you're starting at something. Everybody can, even the atheist can relate to Supreme. Right? That there's some, because they know something's bigger than them. They know, if they think nothing's bigger than them, they actually literally have problems. You know? So, you know, so therefore then they take it up step by step. So that's what he's doing. He's bringing it up. Then you know is that this is the best. You know, they have the prema, they have the highest bliss, eternal, the completeness. The pastimes are complete, you know, like that. The others are complete on their level, but these are more complete, like perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Like that. In this way, with an abundance of splendor caused by Krishna, they played with him, who is pure consciousness known as Brahman. Okay. For the Jnanis, who is the supreme lord for the devotees of Dasyabhava, and was an ordinary human child for those covered by material illusion. Right? So then they'll take Krishna or Krishna's culture, or Krishna's philosophy, or something he did as mundane. So that means part of it's not covered, but part of it is. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11. What pious acts did Nanda perform to cause such affection? And what pious acts did most fortunate Yashoda perform so that the Lord drank from her breast? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.46. Among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have attained perfect bodies, for they have achieved Mahabhava for Govinda, the source of all forms of the Lord. Their pure love is desired by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narration of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahmana, or even Brahma himself? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.58. So is this Uddhava? When it goes, okay. Yeah, so he's from Dwarka, and he's the, you can say, by Sanatana Goswami's description, the lead devotee in Dwarka. And then he can appreciate that Braja is the highest, and of that than the gopis. What worship must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness, and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.44.14. So 44 will be when he goes to Mathura?
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I'm
not sure.
Yeah.
45 is when he killed Kamsa.
Yeah, so this must be when he came in. Because when he came in, you had the ladies on the rooftop. I think this is said by the women on the roof. Because they mentioned that about the gopis.
Mm-hmm.
He displays this. So this is his associates of the greatest. So we see Nanda and Yashoda, other habitants of Brajabhumi, the cowherd boys. Then again Nanda and Yashoda. Then the cowherd women. And then again the cowherd, you know, meets the gopis, you know. Yes.
It's very interesting description because it's based on the Vedic culture.
Mm-hmm.
How they give the reference.
Mm.
But it's not cause and effect. Because we know it's their eternal position. It's not that they did some rituals or piety or this or that, but the reference is still within the Vedic culture, which makes it, you know, very sweet.
Mm.
But if we take it only cause and effect, then it doesn't match.
Mm.
But if we take it only Vedic culture without the Krishna consciousness, then also it's not the, like you mentioned, it's not a complete picture. It's just a part of it. So this is special.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice. Very good. Thank you. Yeah. Then next he displays his highest manifestation of the gopis. So he's gone through now intimate pastimes, paraphernalia is the greatest, then in that paraphernalia, then is going to be the associates, then of the associates, then the gopis. Krishna, though naturally endowed with all powers, appeared most brilliant in the midst of the dancing gopis, like a sapphire in the midst of golden gems. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.6. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Though born as a Kshatriya, Devaki Putra, though full with six opulences, Bhagavan, he appeared most beautiful, situated among the women of cowherd descent. Though Krishna is the color of a blue sapphire, and mixing with the golden color of the gopis, he turned emerald color, Marakata Mani. The word maha is used to indicate that the beauty was extraordinary. So then the maha makara kata mani.
Maha
mara kata mani.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some say that the word mara kata also means sapphire. Thus the word maha mara kata, meaning being like an emerald, though actually being a sapphire, is also seen in some versions of the text. So that gets the thing is that, because when you take blue and green, blue and yellow, you get green.
Yeah.
You know? So he's a blue sapphire, but he appears as green because of interacting with the gopis. So that's the specialness there. So,
yeah.
You know, because there's the thing, some say Marakata can also mean sapphire. And then you were saying that a green sapphire, there is such a thing, or?
Yeah.
There is, but it's very rare.
It's a kind of emerald, but Yeah. From gemology point of view, they're all in the same family.
So sapphires and emeralds are
emeralds
the same.
And rubies.
Oh, and rubies
they're
also.
They're all in the same family. Same.
Okay, so it's just a matter of which is, it means something that.
What hue they take. Have.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's right, because you have a yellow sapphire.
Yeah.
You have a blue sapphire, so naturally you could have a green sapphire, because if you had something, if you can get a yellow one, you can get a blue one, you could get a green one.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how it's placed.
Yeah, how it's developed.
Yes, but the point is it still is a sapphire that takes on that. So that's why some say it's emerald. They'll do like that, and then it gets confusing because it's there. But
yeah.
He's pointing out is, you know, some will say it's a sapphire, but it's just that because the combination between him is blue and them is gold, then you get the green. So that just means the intimacy so much that they become, you know, the mood, then they become, you know, how you say it? In Sanskrit, then that definition will be used. That use the dual; they won't use the singular or plural. That means in Sanskrit, it means, I don't know, but most languages they have single and plural.
Yes.
Right. But in Sanskrit, you have single, dual, and plural.
Right.
Because Radha and Krishna is a special thing; it's not a group.
Yeah.
It's not just any, or Krishna and Balaram,
yeah.
You know, or Nanda Jashoda. You can you say, or you use that ao, or even they use it Bande Rupa Sanatanao, Raghu Yago, Sri Jiva Gopala Go. The ko, it means that one. It means the two Raghunas and the two Raghunath Bhatta and the two Gopals. Raghunath,
no. Sometimes we call Raghunath Bhatta and Raghunath Das.
Yes, so then the two Raghus.
And then sometimes two Bhattas we use.
Gopal Bhatta, so you use like that. So it's just you're using the two like that. So it comes out in poetics nicely.
Yeah. I think Krishna also mentions in the Gita. Oh, he says that I'm Dvandvasamasa.
Yes. Yeah, he's the dual. Yeah, because then it has.
So Rama Krishna, Radha Krishna,
yeah.
Like this, it's equal. But yeah. It's dual.
Yeah.
And this is very pleasing to him.
Yeah.
That's why he's that compound.
Yeah, but that's himself. A very nice one. Yeah, because then it's based on relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not singular, but it's not plural.
Yeah. Because plural can be, you know, just keep going. Residents of Vrindavan, that'll be plural.
Yeah. I'm not sure if other languages have dual.
I haven't heard, but that others have.
Yeah.
The Sanskrit has. Whether in Indian languages they have,
yeah.
Like that, some have.
Yeah, because they all of Sanskrit.
Yeah.
So
most of the practical language doesn't have.
Doesn't have. Because generally they're a simplification.
Yeah.
Like if you see the, like once I was seeing the Sanskrit, all the, what do you call it? The, what do you call that? The declensions of a word. And all that, and then I saw within that there was one that was, you know, a particular ending. And then in Bengali, they use that one for all of them.
Hmm.
So that's how Prakriti comes up. It's just simplified.
Yeah.
It's the same language, it just doesn't have as much technical detail.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. Yeah, that's the word maha, marakata, meaning being like an emerald, though actually being a sapphire, is also seen in some versions of the text. So that's why some will say emerald. But it doesn't mean that he's not a sapphire. It just means he appears like. Among the gopis, so now he's mentioning the gopis, right? So now, among the gopis, one is special. Ana yaradhito nunam bhagavan harir ishvara. Yanno vihaya govindaf prito yam anayad rathaha. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful Lord who takes away distress, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. So now you can, by the, with that principle of when you're talking about anything when you're being specific about women, generally when it's spoken by women, it'll be taken as authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, even though it may be spoken by someone else, it may be authoritative, but socially it'll be taken that it's wrong. Right? Yeah. So here is not only we're saying that one gopi stands out, but the gopis themselves are saying she stands out. Because otherwise they say, oh, well, you're saying that, but actually. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.30.28 Udriti Śrīla Viṣṇu Cakravarti Thakura. Those gopis in the Surid Paksha, such as Lalita, recognized the footprints of Radha and deep within were satisfied. But in the group of gopis, they pretended not to recognize those footprints. They began to speak with joy for her good fortune without mentioning her name. Certainly Narayana, Bhagavan, who takes away the sorrow of the devotees, Hari, who is capable of bestowing all desires on the devotees, Ishvara, has been worshipped by this fortunate woman, by this other woman, Ananya. Right? So the Ananya is someone else. So they don't mention who it is because the others will get envious. Right? That's what you know, like that. Not by us for giving us up. He has run away with her alone with her. End quote. In this statement, the name Radha is revealed. Aradita. In the Puranas, the name Radhika means one who satisfies the desires of Krishna by worship. Sukadeva has carefully mentioned her name secretly here, but in other places by Radha's mercy, her name flows spontaneously from his moon-like mouth. Purusha Bodhani Artava Upanishad. Dve Parshve Chandravali Radhika Bhrat Gautamiya Tantra Devaki Krishna Maya Prokta Radhika Para Devata. Oh, that was the one. So Brihad Gautamiya Tantra, then is this one. So these are different So Purusha Bodhani, Atharva Upanishad. Then Dve Parshva Chandravali Radhika. Then and Brihad Gautamiya Tantra, Devaki Krishna, Maya, Prokta, Radhika, Para Devata. Then and Krishna Upanishad, Vamanga Sahita Devi Radha Vrindavaneshwari. So then she's mentioned in the Vedas. But he was very careful in here not to mention. You know, one is he would get distracted. You know, and then we saw that also then Perkin Mars is also careful so he doesn't get distracted. And at the same time, they're in a mixed group of sages they may appreciate or not, like that. Another meaning of the verse is as follows. Oh, unfortunate gopis, Ananya, uselessly you are thinking yourselves equal to that fortunate women who are wandering about thinking yourselves mistreated. So this, we're saying it now, it's a modern thing that everyone tries to be the victim. But here they're pointing it out, no, it's like that. You know, you're wandering around, oh, we've been mistreated, we're the victim, and all that. It is a fact, Numan, that Hari has obtained Radha at this place, Radhita. This handsome person full of lust, proclaiming his own glories, Bhagavan, who is capable of cheating you, Ishwaraha, because he has given us up. Yanno Vaiha is skillful at giving pleasure to all the senses of that woman, Govinda. With a satisfied heart, Pritaha, he has taken her off alone. Sardar Tadashini 10.30.28. So Lalita's made this point that, you know, yeah, it looks like this girl has worshipped Krishna much more nicely, or worshipped Lord Narayan, therefore she's fortunate. But at the same time, it's saying, says you, that sense saying you fortunate. She's saying you unfortunate. You know, you didn't, because you think you're equal to that woman. That's what, because that was the whole thing. That's what's brought out in, I think, Prema Samputa,
yeah.
That the reason that Krishna stopped the rasa dance there is because they thought they were equal to Radha, and he wanted to establish no, she's not. So because of the mood, Krishna wasn't satisfied. That's why Radharani left. Otherwise, Krishna wants to dance with all the gopis. She's fine with that because it pleases him. But because they thought they were the most fortunate rather than Radha's the most fortunate. They're fortunate, but they're not the most fortunate. Radha is the most fortunate. Therefore, she left because Krishna's not satisfied because the mood is wrong, with that false pride. You know, it's not youthful arrogance that's used in the pastimes. This is just false pride. You know, so she left. And then her not being there, you know, then there's no meaning to that. There's millions of gopis. There's no meaning for him without her. So then he leaves the gopi with her. So when they understand Radha's position and their position, so there's not false pride, then they can have the rasa dance, because Radha and Krishna will dance in the middle, and then everybody else will dance around. You know, like the cowherd boys, you have Krishna sitting, you know, in the middle, and all the boys are sitting in circles around. I think there's like seven circles. Is that also the Abharanas?
Yeah.
That's far out, the cowherd boys are like that. So that means all the personalities and all those Abharanas, the Masyanat, are all coming from them. You know, so the same way the gopis, they must be out like that. And so, but each one is, Krishna's with each one of them. But still Krishna's in the middle. Just like each cowherd boy, no matter if he's sitting, you know, in which line, or whether he's in front of Krishna or behind Krishna, they all see themselves as sitting right here talking to Krishna. Like that, because there's no time and space. So that's how, even if you're a dasan or dasan or das a thousand times removed, you're all the way at the back, you're still, you see everything happening right there. But at the same time, you have the benefit of seeing everybody between their happiness, and that makes your happiness greater. So it's a very special.
Yeah, it's multidimensional.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I say the quantum physicists can eat their heart out.
They had that experience in the 3D theater, there's a ball moving in the middle, and you see everybody, no matter where they sit, see the same.
Yeah.
The same place.
Yeah, yeah. What can be said of Sri Radhika, famous as possessor of the highest prema? What can be said of Sri Radhika, famous as possessor of the highest prema? This means it's unlimited. How can you even speak? Here is the truth in the matter. In the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Bhagavan is delineated as supreme, and his two Shaktis were described. The first Shakti is the Lord's consort, emanating from his Swarup, absorbed in him, belonging to him, and worshipped as the Lord himself by the Sri Vaishnavas. Right? The second Shakti is Maya, regarded with indifference by them, like the material world. It is also under his control, and is a Shakti for producing the universe. The first Shakti is called Lakshmi, and the word is used like the possessor of the Shakti, Bhagavan. This was shown in Bhagavad Sandarbha. Possessor of the Shakti. Means Lakshmi means who possesses the Shakti, but she's possessed by Krishna. So all Shaktis come from Lakshmi in this thing. Like that. So even the external energy. So you have the natural, the spiritual expansion, but then you have her shadow, and then all that expansion.
Also there we were showing the non-difference between the Shakti and Shakti.
Shaktiman, yes. Non-difference, yes. But
and the qualities, the Lord is with qualities, those qualities where it is Shakti.
Mm.
So that's how his Swarup is non-different from his Swarup Shakti.
Because it's qualities, his qualities, and so then he is his qualities, but at the same time as you can say the quality is this. So that's uniqueness. He is qualities at the same time as they all have their own position, own consciousness. So he has it where it's all there, but at the same time as everything has its divisions. Mm-hmm. This was shown in Bhagavad Sandarbha. In this present Sandarbha, Bhagavan is defined by the name Krishna. What is the name of his Swarup Shakti? That should be defined. So you could also put here maybe a footnote mentioning that point that you just mentioned. You know, just bringing out that one, thing. In the two cities, that Shakti is represented by the queens. In Mathura of the apricot pastimes, it is said that Rukmini resides there. This of course represents other queens as well. That these queens are the Lord's Swarup Shakti is indicated in the discussion between Shiva and his wife in Skanda Purana, Prabhasha Kanda. Ooh.
I just put it because all the name of 16 Shakti is how it's plural.
Oh, okay.
Sanskrit I put.
The okay. Pura Krishna Mahateja Yada Prabhasham Agataha Sahito Yadhavai Saravai Shat Pancha Shat Prakotibihi Shodashaiva Sahasrani Gopyas Tatra Samagata Laksham Eka Tata Shastrir Ete Krishna Sutapriye Tato Gopya Mahadevi Vidyaya Shodasha Smita Tasam Namani Te Vakshye Tani Yeka Mana Shinu Lambini Chandrika Kanta Kurura Shanta Mahodaya Bishani Nandini Shoka Supurva Vimala Kshaya Subhada Shobhana Punya Hamsa Sita Kala Kramat. There's a comma, I mean a period after Sita. Hamsa Eva Matah Krishna Paramatma Janardanaha Tasyaita Shaktayo Devi Shodashaiva Prakirtita Chandra Rupa Mata Krishna Kala Rupas Tuta Smitaha Sampurna Mandala Tasam Malini Shodashi Kala Pratipat Titam Arabhya Sanchar Yasu Chandra Maha Shodashaiva Kala Yastu Gopi Rupa Varanane Ekaika Shastasambhinas Sahasrena Pritak Pritak Evam Te Katitam Devi Sahasyam Jnana Sambhavam Yaevam Veda Purushas Sa Geyo Vaishnavo Budahi. Somebody knows this verse? Or you were just chanting it along? You're looking at the book.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was thinking, you're sitting there chanting along. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, that's impressive.
It looks like, how is it arranged? Like, you can chant as a standard mantra?
Yeah.
Generally, it's kind of program and all, don't have.
No, some places they have, especially if there's discussions or prayers or things, then because it mentions they have their prose sections and like that. Like Bhagavatam also has a prose section and like that. Just in time. You start, okay, I'm out of here. We just finished the Sanskrit in the time that you went out. Yeah, we were just going to start the translation. Long ago, when powerful Krishna went to Prabhasa with all the 560 million Yadavas, 560 million Yadavas, 16,000 queens also gathered there, along with 106,000 sons. The 16 Vidyas were there, O Parvati. I will list their names. Be attentive. They are Lambini, Chandrika, Kanta, Krura, Santam, Mahodaya, Bhishani, Nandini, Shoka, Vimala, Kshaya, Subhadra, Shobana, Punya, and Hamsa, Sita. Or maybe because there's a period here, it ended up over there. These are portions. These are portions of Hamsa, who is Krishna or Paramatma. These 16 Shaktis are glorified, O Parvati. Krishna is like the moon, and the Shaktis are like his 16 phases. The 16th portion is Malini. She makes the circle complete, full moon. The moon moves through them, starting with the first lunar day. Each of the 16 portions, which have the form of queens, divided into thousands. O Parvati, I have explained to you the secret which gives rise to knowledge. He who knows this is known as a Vaishnava by the wise. So all the queens have these 16 natures. So you have the main, and then they'll have all the subdivisions. So everybody will be parts of these and combinations within them that give the things. So the same way as you'll have the queens and everything. So that means that those 16 will go back to 8. You know? They'll have, and then it'll go down from there. Same like that, you have the Astasaki. It'll go down from there. Does that make sense? So through them it can all be done. Because they're all around. They make it complete. Is that? Yeah. Gopya here means queen, since Gopa means a king. Lambini is the avatar Shakti. Supurva Vimala means Suvimala. Hamsa Sita means Sita, possessed by Hamsa. Hamsa is Krishna. He is like the moon. The Shaktis are like phases of the moon, which are the nectar of the moon. The last Shakti was not mentioned on the list. That is Malini, the great Shakti, which is complete. It is all the phases together, right? So that will be like Radharani. The example of the moon is completed by explaining the titis. The moon moves through the titis, asau. The 16 have forms of queens, since they are forms of vidya. He who knows this is a Vaishnava, because this is a secret teaching about 16 forms of knowledge, and one can infer his qualities as a Vaishnava by this knowledge. Kura, Bhishani, and Shoka, which arise from the Lord's Sarup, are responsible for manifesting Krishna's harsh nature, Krura, such as its manifestation of Kamsa's wrestlers. Malanam, Asanihi, Krishna was like a thunderbolt for the wrestlers. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-17. He gives terror, Bhishani, to the wicked. Mrityu Bhoja Patahe, for Kamsa Krishna was death. He causes lamentation, Shoka, to related demoniac persons. Asatam Shashta, he was a punisher for the impious kings. They would lament when Kamsa was killed. This is the meaning of these Shaktis. The Shaktis act just like the brilliance of the sun in relation to darkness, which is favored by owls. Krishna is like the moon, and the Shaktis are like its phases, Kala. This indicates they arise from his Sarup. Because right? Otherwise, how do you have all these things here unless they're there in Krishna? The energies have to be there. But they're only used in that context where, you know, according to how you interact. So Krishna being Rasa, like I mentioned before. There's that mentioned here. Remember there was a thing which says he is Rasa? Yeah, I don't remember what it was. We just read it. I was going to say something on it, and then again, forgot. But he is Rasa, and then all other relationships come from there. Because he's Rasa, then all his parts and parcels, who are non-different from him, then they interact with him. He's Rasa, so all things are there. So you interact with him in a favorable way, according to that affection, then that's going to be, you know, with affection, then he'll reciprocate in that way. As a transcendental, you're favorable towards his desire on how he mechanically likes things done and situated, then that's called piety, and he'll reciprocate there by you know, material development and facility. And if you don't interact, you interact with him not favorably, means you're opposed to how things should be done, the mechanics of things should be finished. That's impiety. Therefore, then the impious reactions, the fear, the suffering. And what was the last one? Fear, suffering, and harshness. one gets. Right? It's just a matter of whether you're doing vikarma, karma, or bhakti. Friendly.
Yeah. Can we say that in terms of Krishna's energies and the qualities, that by interacting with his energies, his qualities are manifested? Is that what it is?
Yes, yes. Here? Yes, because he has unlimited qualities. But the point is what's the point of manifesting them if there's not a reciprocation? One of the painters was telling me in Vrindavan that I think he showed me the picture. I saw the painting. And I said, "What's this?" And then he told how he painted it and then took it into Prabhupada. What it is you have Krishna decked out, you know, with ornaments, everything, really, really looking good, just golden dhoti, you know, all nice like that. He's playing the flute. And over on the side there's a tree like that, but it's more about the branches, and in it there's some cowherd boys, you know, hanging and playing, some on the ground and yelling around, there's a cow over here. So he took it into Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looks at it and goes, "What's the pastime?" Mm-hmm. He said, "No, I just felt like, you know, it'd be nice, you know, Krishna's playing the flute, the cowherd boys, the cows, you know, Vrindavan." And he says, "But what's the pastime?" Right? It has to be mantra pasanamayi. You have to get it from there. You can't just make it up. He says, "Krishna here is dressed for being with the gopis. He's for the cowherd boys. This doesn't make any sense." Mm. So that's the point. He has those qualities, but doesn't manifest unless he's there. Like we see Krishna and Balaram. Krishna has a particular mood. But you go over to the next altar, Krishna and Radharani, completely different flavor.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the point, is he manifests according to, you know, who he's with. So that's why if he's with Radharani, you see Braj. If he's not with Radharani, you don't see Braj. So that's why all these gopis have to see everything in that context. You know what I'm saying? Because Krishna is everything in his sarup. So when he interacts with the sarup Shakti, who is also that complete form, that's Braj. And then her expansions were permeated with her prema. Right? Then that makes there. Now when that shifts, then she takes on that mood of Lakshmi. Then you have Mathura and Dwarka. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting also how that relationship, when we chant the mantra for Gadadhar, then it's mentioned Prabhu Ranija Shakti in relationship to Mahaprabhu.
Mm-hmm.
So he's that energy, the supreme energy of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But in that relationship, it's not manifested.
They're just friends.
Yeah.
They're just best friends. So what it means, so Ganatar is always a constant associate with Lord Chaitanya. They go to school together, they play, you know, in the afternoon, the boys get out and they all play together. You know, then when he goes to Puri, then he goes along with. You know, even he's going to go to Vrindavan, Gadadhar tries to go, but at some point he says, "Okay, it's enough. Stay here." And that, and so it's always there, you know. And, you know, you can see Lord Chaitanya leaves through Gadadhar's deity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, it's there. So those who try to make that whole conjugal relationship there, they're bogus apasampadaya. So you only have Gaur Gadadhar, it just means that, you know, that the Lord and his Shakti. But it's about them, it's not about them in conjugal relationship. It's just an intimate, you know, that Radharani is always with Krishna. So Krishna's come to taste the mood of her love for Krishna. It doesn't mean Radharani is not going to be there to assist. But he's in that mood, so therefore she takes kind of that back seat. You know, Nitya-Gaur, then you have you know, about the Lord coming and expanding and taking care of, and then the preaching and bringing everybody to. So in other words, the one is that we're expanding from the Sampit. Balaram's the lord of Samvid, so therefore, you know, we have to get it together, you know. He's the boss, you know, get it together. You know, but then, you know, we come under the direction of the internal potency. So,
yeah,
so when they take it that it's Radha and Krishna, Gaur Gadadhar are in that mood of Radha and Krishna, that's bogus. It's not. Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radha and Krishna. So,
yeah. I guess it's too esoteric, and externally it doesn't look what it is actually, so that's why we don't, you know, we don't worship Gaur Gadadhar in our temples.
No, it's not, because otherwise, who knows? I mean, as it is, you have so much problems of people getting distracted.
Yeah.
You know, it goes too far one way or too far the other way. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It either goes into smarta or it goes into like that. So it's not important. So for us, Lord Chaitanya with Radha Krishna, that you can say is, you know, specifically very much our deity. So you see here Radha Madhava, place of Prabhupada's worship.
Yeah.
And then they expand as Panchatattva and as Big Radha Madhava. But you could say the Mula Vigraha is Radha Madhava and Chaitanya Chandadoi. They're the Mula Vigraha. You know, like when you're talking with those who were here before, when they say Radha Madhava, they mean them.
Yeah.
And the others are Big Radha Madhava. Well, you see most who not, they come later, there's Radha Madhava and then there's small Radha Madhava. No, but small Radha Madhava are the ones that go on the elephant. So you have Radha Madhava, big Radha Madhava, and small Radha Madhava. So small Radha Madhava go on the elephant, the big ones get the big darshan, and Radha Madhava, they're the ones that get the bath and do all the different things. So they're not the Utsav Murtis, they're the Mula Vigraha. Small Radha Madhava, they're the Utsav.
No. Yeah.
That's the local tattva. No?
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad somebody's glad. Otherwise,
yeah. That's how you see, like, Chandanyatra is about small Radhama. It means the smaller, you know?
Yeah.
Like that.
But they're always on the altar.
They're always there. You know, because that's why they went for 21 days, and then the big deities only went for 7 days, and the Shingadeg went for 10, the Chandan. I think now it's all been cut down to 7. Because I think just devotees can't handle that the program gets upset for, you know, because the darshan gets later, breakfast is thrown off, you know. And, you know, breakfast being the most important meal of the day and everything, you know, you're messing up people's lives here. Since the Shaktis arise from a Sarup Shakti, they are in the category of Lakshmi. This position of Lakshmi is indicated in the following. Griheshu tasam anapayarka krin nirasta samyati shayeshvavastitaha reme ramabhir nijakama sampluto yate taro garhaka made he comes charan. The Lord, performer of the inconceivable, constantly remaining remained in each of his queen's palaces, which were unequaled and unexcelled by any other residence. There, fully saturated with a special prema, he enjoyed with his pleasing wives. Like an ordinary husband, he carried out his household duties. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:59-43. So, what are his duties in the house? What would we expect the husband does and this and that? He does all those things. Well, not that he just sits there and everybody else takes care and like that. Like you see, Narayan, they just sit there. There are no household duties. Everybody else takes care of everything. And then he and Lakshmi go and rest. You know, But here he does all the things that they would do. Yeah. Sridhar Swami, that's 10:59:43. Sridhar Swami says in his commentary, Ramabhihi means with Lakshmis, who are his amshas. He enjoyed Reme with them because they were his Sarupa Shakti. He was pervaded by kama samplutaha, a special type of prema, arising from a special function of a shakti of the highest bliss, nija. Sukadev spoke thus, the verse. Anucheda 184. And thus, the eight principal queens are definitely his Surup Shakti. Among them, Satyabhama is Bhu Shakti. This is known from Padma Purana, Yamuna. Kalindi is his Kripa Shakti. One should see the glorification of Jamuna in Skanda Purana. However, in Harivamsa, it is said that because Satyabhama is famous for her great good fortune, she should be known as Bhu Shakti, intensely endowed with Prema Shakti. Rukmini is Lakshmi herself. She is famous in this regard. Dwarka's citizens were overjoyed to see Krishna, the Lord of Lakshmi, united with Rukmini, within who Lakshmi had merged. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:54-60. Since she is by nature Lakshmi, there is mutual qualification of her and Krishna. Rukmini and no one else deserves to become his wife, and she and he also, possessing such flawless beauty, is the only suitable husband for Princess Rukmini. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:53-37. The people of Vidarbha spoke thus to each other, right? So they spoke all these things. Because everybody's under the impression that Krishna is going to marry Rukmini. But then when Rukmi decided, no, she's going to marry Shishupal, his friend, then the people of Vidarbha, they said these points. But no, they're supposed to be married. Anucheda 185. As he contemplated her, the actual goddess of fortune, who desires only him, Krishna smiled. The Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes, and he was pleased with her form, as it was just suitable for her to serve him. Her charming face was adorned with curling hair, earrings, a locket on her neck, and the nectar of her bright, happy smile. The Lord then spoke to her as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:69. Right, so all that goes together. So the face means the face, the hair around the face, the earrings around the face, and then, the locket or anything that's right on the neck. That's all considered the face. Bhagavan api govinda upayeme kuru dvaha vaidarbhim bhishaka no bhishmaka sutam Shriyo matram svayam vare. O hero, among the Kurus, the Supreme Lord Govinda married Bhishmaka's daughter, Vaidarbhi, who was a direct expansion of the goddess of fortune. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:52-16. So here, direct expansion. Shriyo matram means she included within herself all beauty. End quote. This is also the case when matram means quote-unquote, only. Since she is the shelter which included Lakshmi of Vaikuntha, she is the primary Lakshmi complete in all respects. So she is a, direct expansion of the goddess of fortune, but in her, all the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha, they reside. Right? So in other words, she's expanded, means from Braj, and now she is from where all those in Vaikuntha will be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
She's the primary Lakshmi complete in all respects. Nan vevam etad aravinda vilochanaha yadvai bhavan bhagavato sadrishi vibhum naha Kvasve mahim yabhirato bhagavams triyadisha kvaham guna prakritir agya grihita pada. Actually, what you have said is true. Well, Lotus Eyed One, I am indeed unsuitable for the Almighty Lord. What comparison is there between the Supreme Lord, who is the master of the three primal deities and who delights in his own glory, and myself, a woman of mundane qualities, whose feet are grasped by fools? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-34. Because you have, you know, Shishupal and all those, you know, trying to catch her feet. You know, so they said they're all fools, right? You know? Or you could say it's being, you know, from her that expands the, how you say, Dana Lakshmi. And then everybody's after Dana Lakshmi, you know, and they're all idiots. Right? Like that. Because if they're satisfied with money without its connection with Krishna, then they're fools. If there is money in how it can be used to serve Krishna, then it has a value. Then it's Lakshmi. Otherwise, it's material. Like you see that means it, those who worship Narayana, then you see Lakshmi Narayana. You never see Lakshmi on her own. But you have that one where she's sitting there and gold coins are coming out of her hands and then the elephants are there and pouring and all that and that nice thing. That's Dana Lakshmi. That's... Yeah. Thinking herself to be a reflection of the Lord's Amsha, Guna Prakriti, Durga, is simply an expression of her humility. Or Guna Prakriti, he, can mean she who has a low nature. Because she comes as a human-like avatar, she speaks with humility. So she's saying, because Lakshmi, then the other aspect is the shadow. She's taking it in that form, it's just the shadow, so then she's lowly. Like that. Sian me tavang grir aranam sri tibhir brahmantriya yovai bhajantam upa yat yan rita tavargaha. May your feet, which give freedom from illusion by approaching their worshipper, give shelter to me, who have been wandering from one material situation to another. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-43. However, by divine inspiration, there is another meaning. O lotus-eyed Lord, I am not like you, the Lord, but what you have said is certainly the present situation and nothing else. Who can be compared to you, satisfied with the powers, Mahimni, inherent in your Sarup, Swa? On the other hand, who can be compared to me, having a Sarup, Prakriti, a power, and other qualities, Guna? The two of them are situated together as one Sarup. My feet are served by those who know, Gya, you, Vishnu, Agya Grihita Pada. Since the Shakti and Shaktiman are not essentially different, they are similar. With lack of upamana and upameya, object and object, to which it is compared in the verse. Yeah, here's what you were saying about that subject and object, and it's not presented there. So there's that oneness. So that's interesting, is that the Lakshmis and all them, they all know that it's all achintaveda tattva. But their followers may be, because they're focused on this particular type of liberation, they don't see that. So as long as there's an interest in the liberation, then you're going to see a particular aspect. But if you're not interested in liberation, it's only Krishna's pure devotion, then you see achintaveda tattva. And then things can work. Yeah? Sribir, Bratmantya, means I have been wandering on your path. Deva Tve, Deva Dehayam, Manush Syatve Cha Manishi. When you appear as a devata, I take a devata body. When you appear as a human, I appear as human. Vishnu Purana 1:9-143. Astvam Bhujaksha Mamate Charananuraga At Mam ratasya mai chan na tiri ka drishte yarhyasya vidhaya upatta rajoti matro mam ikshate tad uha na paramanu kampa. O lotus-eyed one, though you are satisfied within yourself, and thus rarely turn your attention towards me, please bless me with steady love for your feet. It is when you assume a predominance of passion in order to manifest the universe that you glance upon me, showing me what is indeed your greatest mercy. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-46. So this also would give the rise to the whole description of Lakshmi Tantra. Because it's saying, you're glancing at me. So it means he's interacting with his internal potency. And then from there's the transformation. So then, we generally see it from this side, like this. Lakshmi Tantra is then showing from Lakshmi's point of view, you know, her perspective, how the whole thing is doing, you know, how she's serving the Lord by expanding the Shaktis. Because she's the form of all the Shaktis. What was that? That Mo, what was it? Malini? Mm-hmm. You know, means you have the 16 and then they're all together in one. So that makes it complete because each one had different phases. But when all of them are there, then that's complete. Because otherwise you have this one, this one, this one, this. Because it means this one doesn't mean it includes that one. This one, this one, this one, this one, this one. It's not that this one includes this one, then this one, then it gets like that. No, it's just then all together, that's Malini. So that feature of Malini will be Rukmini. In Vrindavan, it's Radharani. I'm sure it's going to be brought to Radharani, no?
Yeah.
Here also, her identifying with Prakriti is explained as arising from humility. Or you have accepted to be a householder who is very attracted, upatta rajo ti matra, to all beings. There's another meaning. In reply to Krishna's words, I am indifferent, she replies, O lotus-eyed Lord, I have attracted to the feet of you who have attracted attraction for me. End quote. Her attractive nature is described elsewhere by the Lord Himself. It means she's attracted to Him who's attracted to her. Right? So it's not just Krishna on His own, but she's attracted to that Krishna that's attracted to her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you'll see that much of the time is that's why you get the point is that it works within that field. You know, here is that as he has other fields, she's expanded to all those other fields. So it always applies. Right? But his interacting with her, then that aspect with Krishna's dynamic and relationship, because on his own he's Atmarama. So she's attracted to the that feature in which he's attracted to the devotion of his devotees. So he's attracted by the devotion of the devotees, but the devotion of the devotees is towards that devotion. He's attracted by that devotion. So we don't have that devotion. They have. So we're servants of the servants of those with that devotion. So,
yeah.
Because Radharani attracts the complete form of Krishna. We could attract 1/10,000th, the tip of a hair's worth of Krishna, because that's where we are. You want to weigh them up? Therefore, we're servant of the servants, and as it goes up, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it gets to Radharani, and then that whole taste is what is there. That's why it's unlimited ecstasy. Our ecstasy is 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair. It's ecstasy, but not a whole lot. Right? But when you put that in line, like electricity or iron and fire, then it's very great. So that's the uniqueness of being so small, you can carry so much. So,
yeah. I wish we had before the next class, like in the movies, the episodes from the previous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now I have questions, but I we don't have time. But then next time I probably won't remember them. But it doesn't. So if we had episodes, then it would stimulate the questions that I had before.
Yeah, that's there definitely. But at the same time, we might not get anywhere.
That's also true. That's also true. Too many episodes.
each episode you could discuss unlimitedly. So. Yeah, yeah, but at the same time it's unlimited, so you never finish the what is it? Is it a serial or series?
Series.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.